James Hudson is a writer, illustrator, and animator who creates clear explanations of complex information through the medium of art. He's been involved with factual television and online media for over 14 years, having started as a researcher with Beyond 2000 in 1997. He's one of the presenters you'll be hearing at the Big Science Communication Summit. Firstly, James, what got you started in animation, particularly animation that involves science and philosophy?
Well, I guess as a kid of the 70s, I sort of grew up immersed in Saturday morning TV. It was the highlight of my week. And I spent some time in the States, and over there they'd reached a sort of critical mass of cartooning where the parents had sort of said, you know, shouldn't some of this be educational? So they began things like Schoolhouse Rock, which was multiplication tables to catchy songs, essentially, with animation. And so it was never a big surprise to me that information and education should come in an animated form. So that was always something that I sort of that appealed to me. My mum was a kindy teacher, so visceral, hands-on, visual stuff was her bread and butter. My dad was a naval officer, so he was obsessed with the voyages of Cook and sort of early romance exploring and natural history. So this sort of rich mix of stuff that's vaguely sciencey and vaguely visual meant, of course, that I studied law. I did science as well. And by the time I got to the end of that, I read a book called Complexity by Mitchell Waldrop, and I thought it was the best popular science book I'd ever read, and I thought, you know, this is the sort of thing I want to do. I'm not going to be a lawyer. I went to TV. I worked on Beyond 2000 and a few other documentaries with Beyond Productions, which was astounding. I got to do just about everything from, you know, research through to associate producing and graphics and on-screen text and supervising voiceovers, doing voiceovers. I got the sort of full taste of everything, which possibly spoiled me for television, which is usually very siloed and you get stuck in one particular part of it. Then did the website for Beyond 2000, and then I think, like other people I've talked to, there was a need to fill the space with visuals, and you couldn't get a graphic designer when you wanted them, and then they would charge to your production the cost of the graphic designer. And I just thought, you know, I can do that myself. I've been, you know, sketching in the margins of my notes since I was, you know, avoiding religious education in fourth grade. So I just started working in Photoshop and gradually enjoyed that more and more than actually doing the science writing. I still did some science writing, of course, but it was fun. And then when I moved to Melbourne, there was a prestigious old course for people who hadn't done any arts training but were interested, and at RMIT, and I signed up for that, and that became a Masters of Animation and Interactive Media, which sounds very grandiose. It was very fun, and from there I just gradually took those new skills and applied them to my old interests of science communication.
Yeah. So what are some of the challenges when it comes to communicating science through art?
I've always thought that science was visual. I mean, we're looking back to textbooks and sort of visual encyclopedias. My mother gave me visual encyclopedias, well, to this day, from the age of about two to whatever age I am now, my 40s. And so science has always been visual for me, even though I've, you know, done science at university, and that's all very text and equations based. So it seemed to me that the problem isn't helping people understand science visually, because science is all around them visually. The idea is to, as with most things, pick out the bits that are interesting or intriguing. You can show people the Krebs cycle, which is, you know, how aerobic organisms derive their energy, and it's a giant mess of, well, it's a cycle, but there's so many bits on the edges and the complexity is astounding. Or you can show them a leaf in the sunshine and say, oh, look, this is what's happening here. And so you're just looking at different levels of complexity, you're targeting to your audience. And the way I do it, I have actually enormous freedom. I tend to have a relatively serious voice track and a fairly flippant and humorous visual counterpoint. So I can do a lot of things that most people wouldn't normally consider science communication in that way of attempting to get people to engage or be amused or just take on board some of the content.
Yeah. How would you describe your style when you're creating art?
Someone very, very kindly called it like Saul Bass, the designer who did so many wonderful movie posters and movie trailers for
North by Northwest, yeah.
There you go, yes. Abstract geometric is my style. I don't think I come anywhere near Saul Bass, but it was very nice of them to say so. A simplicity, and that was born in part of a desire to do things quickly. So there was if you drew simple shapes, it gets done quicker. But there's also an appeal to a more abstract form. I think people are less to be confronted by or to act up against. If you see a very complicated style, you can sort of say, I don't like that, it's too this, or it reminds me of that. Whereas a simple shape, you tend to accept it, I think.
Fascinating, yeah. So what do you think has had some of the greatest influences, positive or negative, in science communication in Australia?
I could rattle off my sentimental favourites, Harry Butler, the Natural History Unit, Beyond Productions and Beyond 2000, those sort of things. What I think, probably it's not just been Australia, it's just worldwide, is the disruptive powers of so-called new media, the internet, the devolution of traditional media hubs and voices of authority in the media, and the ability for all of us to reach out to our audience directly, whether that be forces for good like you and I, or forces for evil like anti-vaxxers or whatever it may be. There's just such a diversity, and also a lack of, there's no pointers to anything anymore to say this is the voice of authority. So I think that's a positive and negative, massive positive, massive negative. Mm.
What are some of the developments that excite you when it comes to communicating science? What have you seen out there?
I think I tend to be, I've been a web designer from time to time, and I think a lot of my focus is on the technology platform. So I'm interested to see where things like the magazine format, as a traditional magazine, is, I think, dying, or at least having trouble. But there are new versions, which are essentially almost apps on iOS or Android, which allow subscriptions, small subscriptions to an audience, and then they have a less rigorous way of holding onto the copyright. So they'll release an article, it'll be exclusive to them for a period of time, and then it will flow out through the author's own web page and social media. So it's a less controlling form of media. It's also it's hopefully allowing for a diversity of small providers. That's very exciting. I also wonder what's going to happen beyond that when we're getting into, 3D printable items, whether we'll be sending out science kits that can be printed out by people. I just wonder if we're just looking, too close. We're looking into next year and we should really be looking 10 years down the track into the really, truly disruptive stuff.
Yeah.